Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past videos, programs, a healing scripture CD, books, biblical time charts, and more. Today we're going to look at the video, Dr. Zelenko Speaks to a Rabbinical Court in Jerusalem. I have enhanced portions of this video that were hard to hear so that you could hear the rabbinical court's replies to Dr. Zelenko. But you can find the entire unenhanced video on Rumble. Of course, it's not available on YouTube, but you can find it on rumble.com. Just put in, Dr. Zelenko Speaks to a Rabbinical Court in Jerusalem. Dr. Zelenko speaks regarding the COVID-19 vaccination, his successful treatment of over 6,000 patients, as well as the false narrative being promoted in Israel and the United States and around the world. So if you would like to hear truth about the vaccine and about preventative treatments, please watch this video through to its entirety. What is said toward the end of the video is very important and very revealing, as well as please keep an eye on the expressions of the rabbinical court.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Dr. Zelenko is a board-certified family physician for over 20 years. He has been described by his patients as a family member to thousands of families, and is a medical advisor to the Volunteer Ambulance Corps in Kiryas Joel, New York. Dr. Zelenko developed his now famous Zelenko Protocol, which has saved countless lives worldwide. So welcome, Dr. Zelenko. Thank you for joining us. And I would like you to comment on our subject, please.
So I'll just give you quickly my experience. My team has directly treated successfully 6,000 patients. I've trained hundreds of physicians who are now training their students. And as a cumulative group, we've treated millions of patients successfully. Now, my experience has given me a very unique perspective in approaching COVID-19, which is basically keeping people out of the hospital. Regarding children, the only reason you would want to treat a child is if you believe in child sacrifice, and over the vote deserve. If you want to be mocked of children, like a carbon, it's a very good reason to give them the shot. Otherwise, there's no necessity. Let me explain. Anytime you evaluate any therapeutic, you need to look at it from three perspectives. Is it safe? Does it work? And do you need it? Just because you have a capability doesn't mean that you have to use it. There has to be a medical necessity. There has to be a need for it. You look at the CDC, the statistics for children under the age of 18 that are healthy, the survival rate is 99.998% survival rate with no treatment. Just like Dr. Yudin said, the influenza virus is more dangerous to children than COVID-19. And he made an estimate that per million, 100 children would die from the vaccination. I feel the number would be significantly higher, and I'll explain to you the rationale for it. If you have a demographic that has no risk of dying from an illness, why would you inject them with a poison death shot? Now, let's see if this thing works. The two countries in the world that are most vaccinated its citizens is Israel, a high, like 85% rate of vaccination, and an island nation in the Indian Ocean called Seychelles, also over 80%. Both countries are experiencing a Delta variant outbreak. So let me ask you a question. If you vaccinated the majority of your population, why are you still having an outbreak? That's number one. Number two, why would you even give a third shot of the same stuff that didn't work the first two times? All right, that's whether or not it works. And let's talk about safety. Now, this is the real issue. There are three levels of safety or death that we need to look at. One is acute, one is subacute, and long-term. Acute, I'll define from the moment of injection till 3 months. The number one risk of the shot is blood clots, just like Dr. Yudin said, according to the Salk Institute. Oh, by the way, everything I'm saying, I will defend with documentation, and please don't take my word for it. You should do your due diligence. and I can provide to you proof for everything that I'm saying. According to the Salk Institute, when a person gets an injection of these vaccines, quote unquote, the body becomes a spike producing factory, making trillions of spikes, which migrate to the endothelium, which is the inner lining of your blood vessels, and it's basically little thorns on the inside of your vasculature. As the blood cells flow through it, they get damaged, they cause blood clots. If that happens in the heart, it's a heart attack. If that happens in the brain, that's a stroke. So we're seeing the number one cause of death in the short term is from blood clots, and most of it is happening within the first 3-4 days. 40% is happening within the first 3 days of injection of this poison death shot. Now, the other problem is that it's causing myocarditis or inflammation in the hearts of children, and young adults, I'm sorry, in the hearts of young adults. And the third problem, which is the most disturbing, is according to the New England Journal of Medicine article, their preliminary data, the miscarriage rate in the first trimester, woman gets vaccinated in the first trimester goes from 10% to 80%. I want you to understand what I just said. The miscarriage rate in the first trimester of pregnant women when they get vaccinated goes up by a factor of 8. That's preliminary data. It may change with time, but I'm just telling you what it is as of today. That's the smallest of the problem. The second problem is the subacute death issue, which is the following, that the animal studies that were done with these vaccines showed that all the animals responded well in generating antibodies. When they were challenged, however, with the virus that they were immunized against, a large percentage of them died. And when that was investigated, it was found that their immune system had killed them. It's called something antibody-dependent enhancement or pathogenic priming, or paradoxical immune enhancement. But the point is that a lot of those animals died. So you can make an argument, maybe human beings are different. My answer to you, maybe. However, those studies were not done. You are the study right now. The Pfizer CEO said Israel is the biggest laboratory in the world. And so those long-term studies to rule out, Dr. Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for the discovery of HIV, said that this is the biggest risk to humanity and the biggest risk of genocide in the history of humanity. And so the risk of a ADE reaction in human beings, which happens later, has not been ruled out. So my question is, why would I vaccinate someone with a potentially destructive, lethal substance without ruling that out first? And the third component here is the long-term consequences. There is definite evidence that it affects fertility, damages ovarian function, that it reduces sperm counts, number one. Number two, definitely increases the amount of autoimmune diseases. Who knows over time how that is going to reduce lifespan? And just last week, a paper came out showing that increases the risk of cancer. So any way you want to look at it, whether in the acute setting where it causes blood clots, inflammation of the heart, and miscarriages, in the midterm subacute setting where it can result in a pathological, disastrous immune reaction, or in the long term, whether it causes increased autoimmune diseases, cancer, and infertility. Now, that's a big concern. Actually, I'll say it this way. In my opinion, the current Israeli government is a Gilgul of Joseph Mengele. They have permitted human experimentation on their own people. And I'm gonna tell you, I hope this basin is a little different, maybe not, but I know I finally understood what Chazal say, that if you see Tzuras and Klal Yisrael, you should look at the Dayan Yisrael, Masechta Shabbos. That if you see trouble in the Jewish people, you should look at the rabbinic leadership, because if the head is diseased, what do you expect of the body? So I beg of this basin to put the interests of Klal Yisrael above politics and anything else that may alter your opinions. I received daily death threats. I risked my life, my career, my financial life, my reputation, almost my family, everything, just to sit here and tell you what I'm telling. So I'll just summarize it, that there is no need for this vaccine. And there's actually no need for anyone, and I'll explain. Children, I already told you, they have a 99.998% chance of getting better. Young adults from 18 to 45 have a 99.95% of getting better. This is according to the CDC, same concept. Someone who has already COVID and has antibodies, naturally induced immunity is a billion times more effective than artificially induced immunity through vaccine. So why would I vaccinate someone with a poison death shot that makes inferior or dangerous antibodies when I already have healthy antibodies? And then if you look at the high risk population that has a 7.5% death rate, so my data, which was the first in the world, which I published in a peer-reviewed journal, which has become the basis of over 200 other studies, and that have corroborated my observations that if you treat people in the right time frame, you reduce death rate by 85%. So out of 600,000 Americans, we could have prevented 510,000 from going to the hospital and dying. And by the way, I presented this information to Bibi Netanyahu directly into his hands by way of a shliach in April of 2020. And I informed every single member of your Ministry of Health as well. So my question to you is, if I can reduce the death rate from 7.5% to less than 0.5%, why would I use a poison death shot that doesn't work and has tremendous and horrific side effects? And I'll do one more mind experiment with you. If everyone on the planet were to get COVID and not get treated, the death rate globally will be less than 0.5%. Now, I'm not advocating for that. That's a lot of people. That's 35 million people would die. However, if we follow the advice of some of the quote unquote global leaders, let's say like Bill Gates said last year, 7 billion people need to be vaccinated, the death rate will be over 2 billion people. So wake up. This is World War III. This is a level of malfeasance and malevolence that we have not seen probably in the history of humanity. So I'm against child sacrifice. I'm against Avodah Zarah. And I really believe that God is testing every human being here. And here's the test. Are you going to bow down to me, to Hashem? Are you going to ask for your protection from me? Are you going to take your fears and ask me to help? Or are you going to run to the Avodah Zarah, the Eagle Hazov of the vaccine, of your governments, of despots and tyrants, like sociopaths, wannabe deities? There's nothing new under the sun. These people are no different than Paro. They think they're God. And you're going to bow down to them. If you're going to bow down to them, let them protect you. Let's see how that's going to work out for you. I've seen fear drive people to do things that are completely irrational, do not make sense, and they sacrifice their own children. And yes, your Ministry of Health is lying to you. Your statistics are absolutely skewed. If you want to see something real, there's a website called worldmeters.info. Go to Israel, and you can see at December 20th, there's a huge spike in the curve of death in Israel. Do you know what happened in Israel December 20th? National immunization started. And these are numbers being reported by the Israeli government. They're just too stupid to see, to hide it. There is zero justification for using this poison death shot, unless you want to sacrifice human beings. I think I'm done.
After these words, the doctor, I don't think you can ever say you're done. I very much appreciate your time and your effort. Very definite and very clear. We appreciate it, doctor.
Do you have any questions?
I have many questions. But just to summarize, 2 billion would pass out if we use 7 billion the shot, according to what the doctor said, correct?
No, not according to what I said, according to what world experts are saying. That the if you look at Dr. Malone, who invented the mRNA technology, as the original patents for the vaccine, he's saying, do not use this. The government is lying to you. The side effects are horrific. Dr. Cahill from Ireland said that she believes that within 2 years, 90% of the people that got vaccinated will be dead. When Dr. Michael Yeadon, I hope you can confirm, I hope he's still there, was asked that question, he said he wouldn't go that far. So I don't know, maybe it's not 90%. What is the percentage? And maybe it's not 2 years, maybe it's 3 years. And Dr. Luke Montague, who is the Nobel Prize winner for the discovery of HIV, saying this is the biggest risk of genocide in the history of humanity.
So it's just a bit, if you have six million that received presently in Israel, correct? Isn't that the number? 3 million. So 3 million, so if we take that percentage by 3 million, we should be seeing some 500,000, 800,000?
Over time.
Over time.
Dr. Zelenko, you mentioned studies that definitely, the studies that came out that there's a definitely a cause of fertility problems, sperm count, and now recently a cancer research study that says that it causes cancer. Where the government showed these, why are they holding back these things? We see all the time coming out studies. There's no problems of fertility, bluff. No problems of sperm count, bluff. Cancer, bluff. Everything that you said, we're being counted back by not only the governments, but by most of the medical industry, is telling us that all these studies that say that it's not that the vaccination is dangerous is all baloney and it's only anti-vax. Crazy.
I can answer now, right? Can I answer now?
Yes.
Every single person you just mentioned, if you sum total the number of patients they've treated for COVID, it will equal zero. And I've treated over 6,000 patients. So you have to know who you're talking to. And I have no negias except the loss of my life. Now, what I'm going to tell you is the following. That yes, there's been a very coordinated effort to suppress life-saving information. Drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which are the safest medications in the history of medicine, have been suppressed, and you can't even get them in Israel. Doctors who dare to say something that is against the narrative are being deplatformed, including world experts, like Dr. Malone, for example, who developed the mRNA vaccine, said something against the narrative, was deplatformed from every media platform. Can you tell me why? And then can you tell me why there is suppression of knowledge of side effects about this poison death shot? And then tell me why there's this incredible coercion, psychological pressure, and now using force to compel people to take the shot. You should be answering that question, not me. There is a coordinated effort here. And Israel's leading the way.
Excuse me, the VIRS data in the United States is also not really showing the numbers that you're saying either.
Okay, now you started. VIRS data shows, as of today, 11,000 dead people and 450,000 adverse events. First of all, that's not enough. What's your threshold of death?
No, and that's a one.
Okay, theirs is already admitting to that. There's a CDC whistleblower that just said it's not 11,000, but it's 45,000. That's not enough. And then there's a 2009 Harvard study that said only 1% of actual events are reported. Now, I can make an argument that perhaps rashes are reported at a much lower rate than death. So for the benefit of the doubt, let's say 20% of deaths are being reported. And I'm being very generous. So if you take 45,000, according to the whistleblower, or even if you take 11,000 to what they admit, so the number is either 50,000, it's like the Haggadah, 50,000 or 200,000, you choose. And then there are two other problems with theirs. I have colleagues that lost patients from the vaccine. They try to file reports. The system rejects their reports for no reason. And is the other problem, and I have evidence for this as well, that reports that were filed are now being scrubbed off the system and you can't even find them. So even if you, by the way, this is not a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy, not a theory. You know, 18 months ago, if I would have told you that COVID-19 is a bioweapon, you would say I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know, Noah in the Bible was a conspiracy theorist until it rained. So right now, if I tell you that this is an artificially made bioweapon, it's a conspiracy, but not a theory. Everyone agrees that this is artificially made. And I know exactly when it was made, and I know the patent numbers associated with the modifications. In 1999, Dr. Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina modified a bat coronavirus on a surface protein in order that it should infect human beings. Then that research became illegal in America. It got sent by the American taxpayer dollars and by Fauci to Wuhan, where that research continued until they figured out a way to modify this virus to make it extremely more destructive to human lungs and to cause blood clots. So they took an artificial, a naturally occurring virus and slowly made two changes to it over time. It took them 20 years to modify that it should infect humans. And then when it does infect humans, that it should destroy tissue. Now, no one's saying I'm a conspiracy theorist. People are saying it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy to commit genocide. It's so hard for Jewish people to believe that there could be a group of people willing to destroy. It's a war against God. There's two ways of looking at life. Either you look at a human being is made in the image of God. If you're made in the image of God, that means your life has sanctity. If your life has sanctity, then you have human rights. And if you have human rights, it's not your business or my business to decide how many people should be on the planet and who should live or die. Right? The other system, let's call it the Darwin eugenics system, but it actually goes back to Kine. But that system says basically who is on top of the dominance hierarchy of life, those that have the biggest survival benefit. That inevitably leads to three categories of people: the Übermensch, the Mensch, and the Untermensch. If you apply that 80 years ago, the Übermensch were these Nazis, Yimach Shemayim, who were descendants of Aryan gods, who felt it was in their prerogative, their right, to decide who lives or dies. So the Mensch, which were the Anglo-Saxons, the Europeans, could live and be slaves. And the Untermensch, the Jews, the Slavs, handicapped, gypsies, political prisoners, those needed to become dust. So it sounds like a fairy tale, except that it killed 200 million people. And it's the same exact thing now, except that it's not anti-Semitic. Right now, it's a completely different. There's a group of people that feel that they've evolved into a higher level of consciousness, that in their new intelligence and insight allows them to determine these things. I don't think they evolved. I think they're devolved pagans. I think they've become the, Mamash what the Torah calls these Avodah Zarahniks, from before, Baal Peor or Molech, there's no difference from that.
I understand, but let's not. We just want the CDC itself is also Mr. Biden is also running a vaccination program. Also, I'm against the program, but you know, you can scream over here, but your people in America there are 200 million people who took the vaccines. I'm sorry, that's all.
So then, let me tell you about the CDC. President Trump made an executive order that every single American should have access to hydroxychloroquine. That order went to Health and Human Services, Secretary Azar, and that eventually ended up at the CDC by Dr. Rick Bright. And what Dr. Rick Bright did, instead of using the right to try legislation that would have made access to this medication to every American and every human being around the world, because the biggest complaint I got from Israel was, well, your CDC, your FDA is not approving it, because especially the Israeli government are mamish puppets to whatever the Americans do. So because the Americans weren't willing to do it, Israel wasn't willing to do. And so what did they do? They created an executive use authorization that restricted and limited access to only hospitalized patients, effectively cutting it off from patients in the outpatient setting at home. This has been documented by Dr. Rick Bright himself in a documentary called Totally Under Control. These are not my words, those are his words. And furthermore, then they took away the emergency use authorization of hydroxychloroquine, and they used the Lancet study that showed that hydroxychloroquine kills people. The problem with that study was that it was fraud. And the Lancet had to retract that study because it was based on data that didn't exist. But the FDA and the CDC used that study after it was retracted to revoke the emergency use authorization. And the reason why is that if a drug has emergency use authorization, other drugs can't. And 3 weeks later, remdesivir, made by Gilead Pharmaceuticals, received an emergency use authorization and a $3 billion contract. And remdesivir showed no benefit. It reduced hospital stay by 5 days, but with no survival benefit, and cost $3,200 a patient and IV. The drugs that I was using was cost 20 cents a pill at home and reduced death and hospitalization by 84%. That means they reduced the market share for remdesivir by 84%. So the CDC is not an authority to me. You know, according to the NIH right now, you're not supposed to treat COVID unless you're in the hospital and your oxygen is less than 92%. Now, this is a advice and recommendations of a government that wants you to die. After 18 months and dozens of studies that have shown an 85% on average benefit of healing, avoiding hospitalization and death, and you have a government agency still making that recommendation, they've completely lost all credibility. Yes, our governments are corrupt. Yes, our governments have conspired. Do you know, if I was organizing this, I would come to a world leader. I would come to Bibi or Bennett and say, listen, quiet. Here is $500 million. I'll put it in an account that no one can trace. Just listen to us. And if you don't, we're going to kill your family.
Okay.
By the way, if you look historically, right, 20% of the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they say, one shitta. And then there was the Dor Midbar that died, so a certain percentage, right? So I don't know, 50%, let's see. So only 1 out of 10 Jews left Egypt and made it to Israel. What that means is only 10% of our people are capable of making the psychological transition from slavery to redemptive thinking. That's what the problem is here. It's a collision of two systems that cannot coexist. A God-centered consciousness versus Avodah Zarah. Nothing new is under the sun. It's all the same thing. It's just the battlefield now is COVID-19.
Okay, thank you very much, doctor. I want to give you a personal thank you because I used your protocol. I had COVID, and I was able to get your protocol here in Eretz Yisrael also.
I'm glad you got better. I just hope that every other Jew could be like you.
And I second Rabbi Karlovach too, in the same boat. I worked with him 4 days. Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome. So why can't every other Jew?
A personal request to tell you for me.
Sure. But it's not about me. It's about Klal Yisrael. Why can't every other Jew in Eretz Yisrael have the same treatment?
Again, you can find the original video called Dr. Zelenko Speaks to a Rabbinical Court in Jerusalem on rumble.com. You can also go to Mr. Zelenko or Dr. Zelenko's website, which is VladimirZelenkoMD.com, and you can see his prophylaxis protocol, and you can download a printable version of it. That's the preventative protocol. You can also go to the same website and get a treatment protocol, which you can download a printable version of. So again, visit VladimirZelenkoMD.com, and these links will be posted below this video. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.